Vikings purple past on the Fan.
Bumps it up to the left to the 15. Sprints inside the 5. Touchdown!
Now, celebrating the great past years of Vikings football, here's the Fan's Mark Rosen.
Good evening. I'm Joe Nelson, filling in for Mark Rosen on vacation. Happy holidays, everybody. Let's get right to it. Vikings purple past. We go back in time to one of the best wide receivers and special teams aces on the Vikings 1990s squads. His name is Chris Walsh. Pete Bursich hosting the interview. Here's what it sounded like.
It's right before Christmas. We're 2-12. It's negative. People ask me what a 2-12 season was like. I say, I don't know. We were 8-8. It was the worst season I ever had under Denny. I think we're stepping back and going big picture. Not necessarily the X's and the O's and this route and that route and this coverage and that coverage, but we're just getting more into the football end of things, more into the, how does a team stick together? How does a team make each other accountable? And this was one of the things that I was bringing up in how Leslie, and I don't know how familiar you are with Leslie, but just his style is one, I think, that lends itself to the players stepping up to the front, similar to Billick during the Super Bowl saying, no curfew, this is your team, not my team, your team. And I look back and I think of people that were that way, and you were definitely one of those kind of guys. One of your favorite sayings was, if you don't know the tempo, follow me. Guys like John Randall. I mean, we had so many players in that locker room like that. Do you agree, disagree, or what is your take? I mean, what would you think if you were sitting there at 2-12, and how would that stick in your craw?
Yeah, and I think you're right. You got to have veteran leadership, and typically I like to say that about 70% of the guys are on board and the other 30% are kind of go with the flow. But if you have veteran leadership, you have guys that the game's important to, and you're accountable to your teammates, which is probably a lot of times even more so than your coach. You're accountable to your teammates, and you don't want to let those guys down. If you have that, then you have a chance. And if you have a coach that doesn't, it's a lot of pressure being a coach, being a player. But there's more pressure a lot of times being a coach. Because there's things that are outside of your control sometimes.
And I'm glad you brought up coaching. And for a lot of fans out there that remember you as a player, they don't remember that you – they don't know that you coach. So you spent some time with Gary Zauner in Arizona. You and I were actually minority interns for the Arizona Cardinals. Remember? You and me?
Yes, we were.
Up in Flagstaff at 10,000 feet.
Yes, we were minority interns.
Yes, we were. We were minority interns. I love Denny. Denny, that's again. Denny was one of the best. But you've been on both sides of this, and you know that.
Yeah.
And when you start getting players saying things to the press, leaking things to the press, what do you do if one of your teammates is going to the media and sharing the dirty laundry? What would you do?
Well, I think you can do it two ways. You can have you can do it like Mike Tyson did with the fear of God. he'd physically kill you or threaten you, in your family for the next few generations. Or you have a guy that's got a demeanor that I think Leslie's very, I don't know Leslie very well, but his demeanor seems as though he's not, going to chastise and put down the guys and because we're losing, I'm going to make your life miserable. It doesn't seem like that kind of guy. And it depends on the type of team you have, too. But if you have your older veteran guys still leading the younger guys, then you got a chance to keep it together. And it's tough. And I think the other thing is, you got to remember, you do have a rookie quarterback, so you have stuff to build on. You've had injuries and what have you, which, you don't want to use excuses. But there are facts, and where you're losing a guy like Antoine Winfield. That's tough. He's a good player. Well, your best football player. But you have a rookie who's playing pretty good football, and so you can build on that, and you have to kind of grasp onto the things that are positives and really try not to focus on the negatives, because you're getting negative from the media, you're getting negative from the fan base, and everybody's giving you negative. So you got to give some positives to the guys, because it's easy to get down when you're not playing well and the team's not playing well. So if you can try to stay as positive as you can and still be objective, you can't just, blow smoke up guys' butts, but you have to be honest, but focus on the positive stuff. And this is what we're trying to do. We're not here yet. If we do these plays, we make these plays and make these adjustments, and the outcome of the game will take care of itself. You just got to work on, you know, one play at a time, one drill at a time, do this properly, and then that will carry over into playing good football, which carries over into wins.
Now, hey, Chris, I don't know if you've had a chance to watch Christian Ponder at all, if you had, you know, seen a couple of his games. You grew up, I'd say grow up, but you worked with a guy named Brad Johnson, who, let's face it, you know, earned it the right way and earned it the hard way. We also have a guy named Joe Webb behind him. And first of all, give me your thoughts on Ponder. And secondly, my opinion of Joe Webb is he's going to need to take the route that Brad Johnson did, be a backup, run some preseason, and then get his chance when someone gets hurt.
Yeah, you know, I think anytime you're drafted in the first round, you're going to get more chances than other guys. You know, you don't want to waste picks. And so as your first round draft pick, you're saying, okay, this guy, we put money into him, you know, but we extended a high draft pick. And so there's a reason they did that. And he's a talented kid he's going to get more than his fair shake of chances to make it happen. And I think he's a talented guy. He says all the right things. He comes across as a leader, as much as a rookie can be a leader, you know? So I'd like him. And on the other side, Joe Webb, I really like it too. You're right on the Brad Johnson similarities. You know, he's an athletic, big, strong kid who makes a lot of plays. And, you know, being a backup for a while could be a great thing for him. And then either something happens to your starter, or he comes up in free agency and then someone takes a chance on him. But, Brad and I lived together we were roommates for 5 years.
Hey, watch it now. Watch it.
We both came in as ninth round picks in 1992.
Ninth round? They don't even have a ninth round anymore, do they?
No, they don't. We'd be a free agent. There's only seven rounds now. So Brad was in there, and we had Gino Toretta, we had Sean Salisbury, and Warren Moon, actually he was there when Jim McMahon was there. So.
Jeez.
He was at one time, I think he was the fourth quarterback on the roster, and then he stuck around, and Gino took off, and Sean took off and came back, and Jimmy Mack took off, and then he got his chance when Warren got hurt, and Brad was a backup for 5 years, and so he got his chance and was able to play and play well, and really extended his career out, and had a 16-year career both as a starter and a backup. You know, he went from Minnesota to Washington and started over there, and then he started down in Tampa, you know, and then he was a backup, you know, backup in Dallas, so he was able to really parlay his time in there to learning the craft of playing a quarterback and behind some really good veteran guys, and then being a guy that's coachable. You know, Brad is coachable, and he's a fiery guy, but you would never ever think that he would ever, you know, talk back to a coach, but he still had the passion and the will to win. And so he took a longer route. It took him a longer time to get to where he wanted to get to, but he got there. He won a Super Bowl with Tampa down there. So that was a nice one. And maybe that's Joe's role. Maybe that's his route, as he takes the roundabout route to get there. You know, you don't know. You never know. You know how these things can happen. You know, you can talk about Kurt Warner coming in and, you know, quarterback gets hurt in front of him. He goes in and they win the Super Bowl. You know, it can happen just like that. And you have to prepare yourself like that. But the two chipping roles, when you're a first round draft pick, you typically are in there pretty soon. I mean, Aaron Rodgers sat for 5 years, you know, which is unheard of as a first round pick. But look how he developed and evolved into the quarterback he is. But typically, it's you play your first or second year, and they want to see what you got, and you're the future of the franchise, and yada yada yada. So that's going to be Christian Ponder's role, unless Minnesota, you know, keeps losing. Andy wins, then you might have Andrew Luck up there.
you never know. Pete Bursich again, joined by Chris Walsh. Chris, you're a Stanford guy. Last I checked, you were my host when I came out there and visited. You took me to go see a basketball game. What was it, Jennifer Azey? What was her name?
Jennifer Azey. That's right.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, I remember that.
I remember a few girls in the whole school.
Yeah, that was the first. I think that was the first time I saw a laptop computer with those kids walking. Well, you know, walking to class with them and stuff. This is different. That was just a different place. A lot of fun.
I have a friend who goes to Arizona State, and she and I went to a game last year when I was on a state plate up at Stanford, and she made a joke, something to the fact that, yeah, you know, in our stands, we fight with this, and you guys get fights in your stands, you guys fight with calculators.
The calculator watch is still in play. That's another question that has been brought up here is, you've just invested a lot in Ponder. Let's just say for some reason you're in a position to draft Luck. Is he that good? Is he a quarterback of a decade? Is he somebody where no matter what you have on your roster, if you're staring him in the face, you're going to take him?
I think you have to. I think, you know, like most teams and most coaches say, you know, we don't draft for need. We draft for the best position, that best player at whatever position.
Right.
So he is the best player at that position, and especially at the NFL level. You know, he's got all the tools. He can do it all. And I think he's a one in a decade kind of guy. You know, you don't see many guys like him who's kind of got it. You know, all the attributes that you're looking for a quarterback. You know, he's a leader. He's strong. He's athletic. He can throw it. He can run it. There hasn't been any negative stuff about him. You know, so you're saying, okay, well, he could have came out last year, but the number one pick in the draft. He came back. He was great. Wanted to graduate with this class. He's got another year of eligibility if he wants to come back. He's not going to. But you know, his dad's an athletic director. He's been around sports his whole life. You know, it's hard to say. You see these guys, you're like, oh, this guy's a sure pick. He can't fail. Right. Well, it's happened. There's been a lot of guys who failed at the quarterback position, especially. And this one is, you know, I'd have a hard time seeing this one fail, but you never know. A guy could get hurt. But you draft him, and you could deal him if you wanted to, but I think you keep him, and I think you keep both the guys. You keep two young quarterbacks, and you play this thing out, or you could deal Ponder, you know. But you got to take the best player in the draft if you have that pick. And unless you're just really, really convinced that Ponder is the real deal, right, and from the coaching staff, yeah, there's not another guy we want.
And with everything that's going on in the background with us, it's hard to make that evaluation as the season goes on. I mean, I've seen some things with him in the Happy Feet that we hadn't seen all year. And, you know, even when he had a bad quarter, he'd come back and make a couple throws. We didn't see that Sunday. Is he trending the wrong way, or is it just getting caught up in everything else that's going on with a 2-14 or 2-12 season? You know, all those kind of things that can sneak in. So, Chris, I'm hoping we can keep you for one more segment if we can.
Yeah.
We're going to change gears a little bit, and we're going to go waxing nostalgic. The purple brick road, as Joe calls it, and just talk some stories. I want to talk about the Boo Ray, the everything, just kind of the guys that you miss the most, you know, a couple quick stories and those kind of things. Just I mean, I even brought up Bobby Abrams in the earlier segment, him and his 32 ounce glass of Jack Daniels that he used to drink, big old ugly BA. So all right, so just give yourself a minute to think of some things. This is Pete Bursich filling in for Paul Allen, and when we return, we're going to get back. We're going to go back in time with Chris Walsh, and we're going to wax nostalgic. You know, you guys haven't gotten over 98, but we haven't either, and we're going to talk a little bit more about those kind of things when we return.
You're listening to Vikings Purple Past on The Fan. Holidays, everyone. I'm Joe Nelson. Let's get back to it. Pete Bursich alongside longtime Vikings wide receiver and special teams ace, Chris Walsh.
Enough of the, at least of the current situation. I want to take you back in time, and I want you to just tell me, if there was one guy that you haven't seen in quite some time and you could just hang out in the locker room and play cribbage with one more time, who would that be? Name a couple guys.
Well, you know, Freddie Zamboletti, the guy who's been there since the beginning of time, the Vikings, he was my guy, our guy. playing cards with him and you and John Jarek. That's pretty good.
Matt Burke. Yeah, old G-Rack is—he's an attorney out in Ohio now. I was hoping to get him on, and I think with all the Sandusky thing that happened, I think it might have explained a lot with Johnny. You know.
Yeah. John Jarek is a Penn State graduate. He had some odd, you know, peculiar things. So maybe that is.
And he did.
He's more to the story.
And he did a wonderful impression of Joe Pa. It was one of the best that I've ever heard.
Yeah.
So
that was good times. Yeah. Now, the, you know, that's the thing. You know, the locker room, people who haven't experienced it don't. That's the thing that we miss the most.
Absolutely.
I shouldn't speak to everybody. I mean, game day is great, but having 60 guys in the locker room, you know, screwing around, playing cards, dominoes, you know, playing bocce ball and all these different games, you know, and then giving each other grief. But then you have the one common goal, you know, 60 guys, 16 coaches, maybe. You know, the Viking staff was like 11 coaches.
Yeah.
When we were there, right, Pete?
Right.
You know, but with everyone, one common goal, all working together and trying to achieve the best that you can do within the team format. You don't really see that too much. You know, I get up to Minnesota a couple times a year. I'll get up typically for a game or two.
Chris, let everybody know where you are now and what you're doing real quick, too.
I'm in Scottsdale, Arizona.
All right.
I've been going here after my first year in Minnesota in 94. I was looking for a place to call home. Everything I owned, I could put in my car, and I would just ship it across country, and I'd live in a place. I'd drive it across country, you know. So I had, like, clothes, a TV, and a VCR. That was it. So that kind of got old. So my first two off-seasons when I played with Buffalo, I'd train in the off-season with Jerry Rice over at Menlo College. And so after 2 years of that, and I was in Minnesota for a year, and I was kind of looking for a place to call home. And my dad liked it down in Phoenix, and wanted to find a place that was good weather, good place to train, but also has affordable. My family members could move, and kind of he wanted to retire here. So I talked to Brian Davis. Remember that name?
Oh my gosh! From the John yeah, Salisbury. He played with the Cardinals, didn't he?
Yeah. John Salisbury.
He was with us the infamous Nine Inch Nails concert that we went to with Hole opened up for him. We was with Jarek, Big Dumb and Stussy, Robert, David. I mean, let's put it this way. We got those guys in the mosh pit and they were complaining about it on the radio the next day.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, but I digress.
No. So I came down here since 95, I guess, 94, after the 94 season. And, yeah, Sean Salisbury got really kind of talked me into moving down here. And then he proceeded to move to San Diego.
He took off.
Yeah, he's great. But I get up to Minnesota. I try to get up there, you know, for one or two games. And then I go up in the summer with a bunch of buddies. We do a Ryder Cup format up in Brainerd.
Ah.
My buddies that I used to hang out with. And we play, Blu-ray you bet on golf so the closest thing I can get to the locker room is going to hang out with these guys, my buddies Nick and Brian and Sean Carlson and all these cats. You know, we got 20 guys go up there, stay in cabins, you know, bet on everything and then run around and make fools of ourselves for a 4-day deal, and it's a blast, and the golf's really good, and so we have a good time. But for me the locker room, you know, is a sacred place, because it's just fun. You get excited to go there. You know, I'd go there in the off days and just hang out and play cards, and
yeah.
I just, you know, getting treatment. I'd be there all the time. I'd bring in bagels and, you know, for the trainers and the equipment guys on Tuesday mornings.
Right.
Off day.
Hang out, talk to Barta, hang out and talk to Freddie, and
that's your family. You know,
right.
you miss that stuff. You miss, you know, all the guys that are with you that help you and you work with to get to the level you're trying to get to.
Yeah, I mean,
visually.
And of all the things I think I saw on the field in my time there, I think one of the most incredible things was watching Everett Lindsay sit down and drink a gallon of whole milk in 5 minutes.
Yeah, I didn't stay down though, right?
No, he did. It was when I'm trying to remember the fullback's name. He had a funky last name. He tried to do it with buttermilk, and that didn't stay down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
Lindsay had white poop there for a couple of days.
I mean, these are the kinds of things, though, that we would do. I mean, you had some extra money in your pocket, so somebody would make a bet or say something stupid, which was quite often with the group that we had. And next thing you know, it's a bet. You know, William Sims has a birthday. His girlfriend sends him a bouquet of flowers and balloons with a camera on it. And Morris and then Randall McDaniel and those guys proceed to tape Mr. Sims to his chair, tape the balloons to him with the flowers, and then take every picture that's in the camera and then hand it to him and say, here, mail that to your girlfriend. Tell her he said thank you.
Yeah, they don't understand. You know, like, it's your birthday, okay? So typically, you know, you say, oh, happy birthday. No, it's punishment to get to your birthday. It's your birthday, they tape you up. They tape your arms and your legs, and you're stuck on the bottom, on the floor of the locker room. They'll come inside to cut you out. And that could be 5 minutes, that could be a half hour, depending on who it is, what they want to do to you. Great. The other thing they do is you come in, and if someone wants to play a practical joke, they'll take your clothes. You got your jeans and your sweater and sweatshirt or whatever, and they'll soak it down. And then we're in November, December. And then they just throw it over the goalpost. And let it freeze. So you're going to get your clothes. Your clothes are frozen. But now you can't get your clothes. You got to get them, put them through the dryer, got to sit around, wait an extra hour to get your clothes done. You know, and your clothes, they bring them back in. You know, they're standing straight up because they're frozen.
And the king of that was Jeff Christie. I mean, he was one of all the reindeer games. I know he was up there. I mean, he took Morris's truck and high-centered it on the hill. Disconnected car batteries. I mean, just all kinds of just funny. I mean, that's what you had to do to keep yourself sane, though.
Yeah. And people don't realize how long of a season is. You know, and when you come out, and that's why you talk about Christian Ponder and, you know, his growth. And I guarantee you right now he's tired. The college season is 11 games. You get 2 weeks of preseason maybe. If you don't go to a bowl game, there you go. And the NFL season is 6 weeks of preseason, typically, not this year, obviously, but then 17 weeks of regular season and then playoffs. So you're looking at 23, it's almost double without playoffs, double the amount of time. So when you get to about week 11, 12, 13, you can just see in these rookies' eyes, they're deer in the headlight. They're just like, really? We got to keep going? They're exhausted. They're exhausted. They don't know how to, they haven't done it before. You couldn't pace yourself. You can't. You know, you got to go full speed, but at the same sense, you got to know how to take care of yourself. And that's, you know, I was talking the other day about Jim Klinefelter. And when Brad left, he went to Washington. Jim and I were roommates, you know. And so Danny was always smart about putting guys that he thought were good matches together. You know, Jimmy being a tough guy, you know, and me being a tough guy and me being a kind of a leader and what have you, to teach him how to prepare for a game. And, you know, Jimmy didn't want to do, he didn't like massage and he didn't like chiropractor. He didn't like, you know, stretch. He didn't like any of that. He was like, I'm big and I'm strong and I can rip your head off, you know, and he is. But.
And that should do it for Vikings Purple Pass. You can catch it next week where Mark Rosen will be back. On behalf of the fan and the Minnesota Vikings, we'd like to wish you a safe and happy holidays. You're listening to
4th floor of Mall of America.
Once again, Mark Rosen on vacation. Happy holidays, everyone. I'm Joe Nelson. Let's get back to it. Pete Bursich alongside longtime Vikings wide receiver and special teams ace, Chris Walsh.
Enough of the, at least of the current situation. I want to take you back in time, and I want you to just tell me if there was one guy that you haven't seen in quite some time and you could just hang out in the locker room and play cribbage with one more time, who would that be? Name a couple guys.
Well, you know, Freddie Zamboletti, the guy who's been there since the beginning of time, the Vikings, he was my guy, our guy. playing in cards with him and you and John Jarek. That's pretty good.
Matt Burke. Yeah, old G-Rack, he's an attorney out in Ohio now. I was hoping to get him on, and I think with all the Sandusky thing that happened, I think it might have explained a lot with Johnny, you know.
Yeah, John Jarek is a Penn State graduate. he had some odd, you know, peculiar things. So maybe that is.
And he did.
He's more to the story.
And he did a wonderful impression of Joe Pa. It was one of the best. It was one of the best that I've ever heard.
Yeah.
So
that was good times. Yeah. Now, that's the thing, you know, the locker room, people who haven't experienced it don't. That's the thing that we miss the most.
Like, absolutely.
I shouldn't speak to everybody. I mean, game day is great, but having 60 guys in the locker room, you know, screwing around, playing cards, dominoes, you know, playing bocce ball and all these different games, you know, and then giving each other grief, but then you have the one common goal, you know, 60 guys, 16 coaches, maybe. You know, the Viking staff was like 11 coaches.
Yeah.
When we were there, right, Pete?
Right.
You know, but with everyone, one common goal, all working together and trying to achieve the best that you can do within the team format. You don't really see that too much. You know, I go up, I get up to Minnesota a couple times a year. I'll get up typically for a game or two.
Chris, let everybody know where you are now and what you're doing real quick, too.
I'm in Scottsdale, Arizona.
All right.
I've been going here. After my first year in Minnesota in 94, I was looking for a place to call home. Everything I owned, I could put in my car, and I would just ship it across country, and I'd live in a place. I'd drive it across country, you know. So I had, like, clothes, a TV, and a VCR. That was it. So that kind of got old. So my first two off seasons when I played with Buffalo, I'd train in the off season with Jerry Rice over at Menlo College. And so after 2 years of that, and I was in Minnesota for a year, and I was kind of looking for a place to call home. And my dad liked it down in Phoenix, and we wanted to find a place that was good weather, good place to train, that also has affordable, and my family members could move, and kind of he wanted to retire here. So I talked to Brian Davis. Remember that name?
Oh my gosh! From the John yeah, Salisbury. He played with the Cardinals, didn't he?
Yeah. John Salisbury.
That was he was with us the infamous Nine Inch Nails concert that we went to with Hole opened up for him. We went with we was with Jarek, Big Dumb and Stussy, Robert, David. I mean, let's put it this way. We got those guys in the mosh pit, and they were complaining about it on the radio the next day.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, but I digress.
No. So I came down here since 95, I guess, 94, after the 94 season. And, Sean Salisbury got really kind of talked me into moving down here. And then he proceeded to move to San Diego.
He took off.
He's great. But I get up to Minnesota. I try to get up there, you know, for one or two games. And then I go up in the summer with a bunch of buddies. We do a Ryder Cup format up in Brainerd. My buddies that I used to hang out with. And we play Blu-ray and you bet on golf. So the closest thing I can get to the locker room is going to hang out with these guys, my buddies Nick and Brian and Sean Carlson and all these cats. You know, we got 20 guys go up there, stay in cabins, you know, bet on everything, and then run around and make fools of ourselves for a 4-day deal, and it's a blast, and the golf's really good, and so we have a good time. But for me, the locker room, you know, is a sacred place because it's just fun. You get excited to go there. You know, I go there in the off day and just hang out and play cards, and I just, you know, getting treatment. I'd be there all the time. I'd bring in bagels and, you know, for the trainers and the equipment guys on Tuesday mornings.
Right,
off day,
hang out, talk to Barta, hang out, and talk to Freddie and.
That's your family. You know, you miss that stuff. You miss, you know, all the guys that are with you that help you and you work with to get to the level you're trying to get to.
Yeah, I mean, and all the and of all the things I think I saw on the field in my time there, I think one of the most incredible things was watching Everett Lindsay sit down and drink a gallon of whole milk in 5 minutes.
I didn't stay down though, right?
No, he did. It was when I'm trying to remember the fullback's name. He had a funky last name. He tried to do it with buttermilk, and that didn't stay down.
Yeah.
Because Lindsay had
white poop there for 10 days.
I mean, these are the kinds of things though that we would do. I mean, you had some extra money in your pocket, so somebody would make a bet or say something stupid, which was quite often with the group that we had. And next thing you know, it's a bet. You know, William Sims has a birthday. His girlfriend sends him a bouquet of flowers and balloons with a camera on it. And Morris and then Randall McDaniel and those guys proceed to tape Mr. Sims to his chair, tape the balloons to him with the flowers, and then take every picture that's in the camera and then hand it to him and say, here, mail that to your girlfriend. Tell her he said thank you.
they don't understand. It's your birthday, okay? So typically, you know, you say, oh, happy birthday. No, it's punishment to get the pure birthday. It's your birthday, they tape you up. They tape your arms and your legs, and you're stuck on the bottom, on the floor of the locker room. They'll come inside to cut you out. And that could be 5 minutes, that could be a half hour, depending on who it is, what they want to do to you. Great. The other thing they do is you come in, and if someone wants to play a practical joke, they'll take your clothes. You got your jeans and your sweater and sweatshirt or whatever, and they'll soak it down. And then we're in November, December, and then they just throw it over the goalpost and let it freeze. So you're going to get your clothes. Your clothes are frozen, but now you can't get your clothes. You got to get them, put them through the dryer. Got to sit around, wait an extra hour to get your clothes done. You know, and your clothes they bring them back in. You know, they're standing straight up because they're frozen.
And the king of that was Jeff Christie. I mean, he was one of all the reindeer games. I know he was up there. I mean, he took Morris's truck and high centered it on the hill, disconnected car batteries. I mean, just all kinds of just funny. I mean, that's what you had to do to keep yourself sane, though.
Yeah. And people don't realize how long the season is, you know, and when you come out, and that's why you talk about Christian Ponder and, you know, his growth. And, I guarantee you right now he's tired. The college season is 11 games. You get 2 weeks of preseason, maybe. If you don't go to bowl game, there you go. And the NFL season is 6 weeks of preseason, typically, not this year, obviously, but, then 17 weeks of regular season and then playoffs. So you're looking at 23, it's almost double without playoffs, double the amount of time. So when you get to about week 11, 12, 13, you can just see in these rookies' eyes, they're deer in the headlight. They're just like, really? We got to keep going? They're exhausted. They're exhausted. They don't know how to, they don't know how to, they haven't done it before.
Right.
You couldn't pace yourself. You can't, you know, you got to go full speed, but in the same sense, you got to know how to take care of yourself. And that's, you know, I was talking the other day about Jim Kleinsfosser, and when Brad left, he went to Washington. Jim and I were roommates, you know, and so Danny was always smart about putting guys that he thought were good matches together. You know, Jimmy being a tough guy, you know, and me being a tough guy, and me being a kind of a leader and what have you, to teach him how to prepare for a game. And you know, Jimmy didn't want to do. He didn't like massage, and he didn't like chiropractor. He didn't like, you know, stretch. He didn't like anything. He was like, I'm big and I'm strong and I can your head off, you know, and he is.
That's the voice of longtime Vikings wide receiver Chris Walsh. For everyone here at The Fan and the Minnesota Vikings, we wish you a safe and happy holiday season. This has been Vikings Purple Past on The Fan.